All right, time is 7:01. We'll call the meeting to order. If everyone could stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. At this time, I would like to ask the council to review the December 2nd meeting minutes for approval.
I'd like to say something about the minutes.
Yes.
And this, I tried to listen to, I'll confirm whether I'm hallucinating or if what I recall was right, but where we were talking about the Christmas bonus and raise, which we passed for them to get that in 2024, but I thought that what we actually added was that we recommended that the bonus be something yearly, but not the raise. Every year, we just did the bonus for every year. We just look at the raises on a yearly basis.
So that is one addition clarification, is that the bonus was the annual with the proration components, as the pay raise was going to be voted on each year. So that's an addition. That's correct.
Yes, I just recommend writing in. I recommend just going ahead and writing in the additional phrase that the mayor suggests here.
The pay increase is an annual, they're annual voted on.
And then if you pass that around, everybody can look at that and see if that looks good.
All in favor?
Aye. All right.
That passes. Unanimous. All right. Now we'll move to the new business with the election ordinance. Okay, we can do that one separately. Yeah, we'll go back to that for the review of the comprehensive plan input meeting notes or minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay. All right. Now we'll move to the new business, the election ordinance. We have the ordinance for the three positions that will be up for reelection with qualifying in August. And that will be, make sure I get the posts correct. Post, I have the general election ordinance that has the positions that will be up, which will be post 1, 3, and 5, which will be up for 4-year terms. With post 1 is currently backfilling the remaining portion. So those three positions will be up for the full election, or for the full terms this next election. The ordinance? Yes. All in favor? Okay. Next item on the agenda is in reviewing the community room fees. One of the parts that's been, you know, noticed over the past months is that there's a routine period that we have to have somebody come in that's a compensated portion to open the community room and or pavilion, or it's handled in, you know, the volunteer portion. Also, the fees have been very competitive for a period of time. So the question before the council is, do we want to increase the fees or adjust the fee schedule in any manner? Additional options I've thought about would be if somebody were to fail to pick up the keys, you know, ahead of time, that it would be an additional cost to them. It is, however, not everybody does that. Not everybody gets the code correct. So then that results in having to come in on the weekends to. But the other part to it as well is the revenue side of it for the town with the fees of where they're at. It does. All of these have their rates. So historic rates, 2011 was $250, 2016, $275, 2019, $325. With our renters, or the people that use the pavilion or the community center, are they mostly residents or outside of the city limits?
I brought the us up because I'm getting so many people from outside of this county. Odette, Walton, Athens. Because it's so cheap.
I would think, yeah, I like the idea of the citizens, non-citizens, or residents, non-residents. That's correct. I think that's, I mean, if it's 350 for the residents and 450 for the non-residents.
Is that residents of the town or the county?
The town. That would still be, Bogart would be less expensive, but the others. The deposit is, but it's a $350 for the rental for city residents and $175 for city residents, $350 for non-city residents. Datum's $325 and $650. No, that's not. But it's just as a comparable. Keep the deposit at, or move the deposit to $350 as well?
Yeah. Or at least go to $300 on the deposit.
So who does the walkthrough, the final walkthrough? Okay. Get him, Kathy. Get him, Kathy.
Most of them do not mop.
Right here, we don't have the.
And I can't say people the deposits are not mopping.
No,
it's like it was badly trashed and I didn't keep the deposit.
But if it's got spills and everything else and they didn't clean it, yes, I do.
We would need to amend this form as well at the end. I think we'd update it with the pricing about ensuring that rules compliance. I know they're acknowledging the rules compliance, but highlighted a second manner.
So the jumping house, would that be a good hold, what you mean?
That would be.
But do we specifically say no jumping house?
We do.
So they violated that, kept their deposit.
What is the... Well,
smoke alarms going.
Remember at last winter we had the grass fire outside of the pavilion, but that was a non-rented event at that time. We don't have that fee listed on...
This is just the community room.
Yep.
The pavilion's 100.
Should we keep the pavilion at 100? Okay. So in reviewing this, I think the request would be that we increase the deposit for the community center to $300. We establish a resident rate for the community center of $350, a non-resident rate of the community center of $450. The pavilion rental would go to a deposit of $125 and a rental of $125. And we would add the clarification as a second location on the rules compliance.
Do we have non-residents that use the pavilion out here? A lot?
Yep.
Do we need to go up? Is the 125 to go up on them to 150?
And the 175?
175?
And so then it would be a resident of 175, or resident of 125. And a non-resident of 175.
Hmm?
Goes to 125. Well, we're keeping one rate for the... So the answer is yes, we can do those. I've explored with some vendors on the pretty extensive project of cutting in the frame, of going to electric strike and the access cards, remote readers, and the same for the restrooms at the pavilion. We can go that route, but it's going to be several thousand dollars to install the electronic locks that have that option for that. Well, I get the calls as well if nobody else is here to go in. There are systems that you can set up with them that have the sensors that let you know if it's locked, unlocked, and if the door is physically closed.
Check it if it's down there.
Yeah.
They can check, you know, the pavilion and the restroom.
And that's the part to look at, you know, while the rate increases are not significant, if we do go too far on the rate increases, it's your risk losing some rentals. Just as a quick math on those, if it's 40 weeks that were rented with the increase in price that's here, that equates to roughly $5,000 to $6,000 a year in increased revenue with these rates. So back to the pavilion, would we want to keep just one deposit amount to keep it easier for Kathy taking care of the... So for the deposit at the... But then the rental is 125 at the for the residents. Well, I think that's okay. I mean, I think that's okay to be... And so we said 125 for the resident of the pavilion and the non-resident. Split the difference with the deposit. Okay. All right, we'll go back to... Correct. All right, so the motion would be to change the community center deposit to $300, establish a resident rate of $350, a non-resident rate of $450. The pavilion would go to a deposit of $150, residents would be $125, and non-residents would be $175.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor? Thank you.
And I've made a note that we can get that taken care of.
What did you want to add
right here? It's just the, we can get the language with the attorney. It's the forfeit. This is second location forfeiture of the deposit with rules violations.
Exactly. And not limiting it to $50 for leaving it a mess.
Okay. So you're going to help me?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Next item on the agenda is the code enforcement officer update. So I've spoken with CPL Group for the code enforcement section that we have the options of using as an hourly service with part of the agreement that was agreed upon earlier this year, or last year, 2024, with their services. So the code enforcement is a section that can be done as we come up with the code violations that are needed. We've been in contact with our attorneys over a couple of, just as a procedural component of where, how that process would work between sending letters to the addresses where there are issues, with parts of working with the resident to bring them to their attention, which they may not know about them, but to work on a resolution, and then as needed to work with the consulting component of the CPL group for the code enforcement. So, are there any questions? No, this is actually for the towns.
So where is the code enforcement coming from without a motion?
That's the CPL group. We have the ability to work with a code enforcement section with CPL group. And with our attorneys, it's the two-part component with it. So it's not a, if you want to speak more to that, as we've...
So code enforcement officers don't actually have to be law enforcement officers. So this company CPL group that the city already contracts with for planning and zoning services can do that, and basically it would just be an extension of the service they already provide to the city. And we
can
exactly. And so basically from there, that company can do all the documentation that needs to be done, do those initial negotiations with the property owner to see if they will correct it, and then if it has to go to court, then that's when we would take it over and handle it from there.
Yes, so that's something that would be available almost immediately with new.
That is correct.
And you said we already are working on some issues?
There are some items that we are working to address right now and speaking with the attorneys on addressing those. Do you have any?
Nothing's been yeah. No. I was just thinking if I could provide any helpful information. Nothing's been referred to CPL group yet because we haven't decided that that's going to be the way to go yet. But I think we have identified some properties where there are code enforcement issues that we want to address as soon as we get it in place.
That's correct. It'll be very short order that we see those, working with the occupants of those locations to address the items that need to be addressed.
There's going to be an extra charge for that.
There is a charge, as with any Marshall Services, the consulting firm, there is a charge whenever they're involved with it. With our attorneys, we have the retainer that we entered the agreement with last year. So the hours would come out of that until we hit the 10 hours, and then it's an hourly fee after that retainer portion has been used. We, our intent is to work with everybody to really make sure that we're keeping up with those items in a manner that positively reflects the town. So working with all residents to address any of those issues.
And I want to add, and if I'm wrong, correct me, but for everybody, what we would be paying for a marshal, that we would pay him monthly. Hopefully, we're not going to have so many issues that we have to pay more to than what we would be paying a marshal.
The previous was a $100 a month retainer and $25 per hour was the previous marshal cost.
You said the next step was always going to legal step anyway, step two, so we're just going straight to that.
It's a documentation process to help to clearly identify the issue and work with the resident on the solution. So if we don't write a letter to begin with, and you have those issues that need to be addressed with the resident, nothing happens. You've called the marshal out, those services, then we go back, and then it starts that process of needing to write the letter. We always have the option as council members or just residents of the town to speak with our neighbors and ask them what's going on, right? I'm a big fan of check in with your neighbors, see if they need help, if their grass is tall, if something's there, you know, are they doing okay? Let's work with them that way. But there's also the parts of, you call it, you know, egregious land use and business use violations that need to be addressed. The council works together for those items.
And email each other or
call each other? I don't have a specific procedural component that's laid out for that.
I don't have a clue as to what we're going to
I think you're going to like the next item on our agenda that will speak directly to what you're referencing.
Gotcha.
In a roundabout but direct way. So the, I don't have the address in front of me directly, but the one that's the fenced in area located with the construction trailer that's on it. So we will, 151?
4th Street.
So the intent is looking at business versus commercial use. So we'll have all of the information put together for that and working on ensuring that all commercial licenses are applied for, business licenses, and the appropriate inspections are conducted to meet the requirements from the fire marshal or just occupying the facility. Second is the locations right here next to Mason's Photo Shop, right where we know that there are dump truck locations being stored on the property at that site. And as of last year, there had not been business licenses paid for operating a business, but the land is not zoned for storing dump trucks on it. And the same off of Gift and Thomas, there's another location with heavier equipment being stored behind the property on site, inside of a residential area, land that's not zoned for that. So to begin, and we'll continue to work with the residents, you know, of other couple of locations that have been identified for having excess trash stored outside of their properties, where we're speaking with those residents. So, but, you know, those are the initial, we need to work through that part so that we can just continue the process of cleaning up and just making sure we're keeping up with the town. You know, further parts are where people have abandoned vehicles stored in their front yards, the things that we need to look at addressing. So we'll continue, you know, it's a process. But the three that we're looking at right now or working on are those. Well, we'll take a look back at, you know, the location and the UDC requirements that are associated with that property use to make sure what, so again, the intent, we're working with the attorneys with all of these is going through all of the permitted use types for these spaces and keeping in compliance with the codes that we do have adopted for the town. Okay. Is there any other items? Jumping up ahead to the next item. So, the answer is no. What has been sent out has been notifications of the trash cleanup once a year that is done, and we did for the town hall. The intent of the next item or the others is increasing the communication within the town, and that's creating whether it's a quarterly or a semi-annual newsletter that includes parts that are referencing back to building permit and inspection requirements, the code requirements, those parts to help educate and inform our residents so that we can, you know, continue to build that relationship and foster a better partnership with everybody here. So there, yes, 100% there's intent for this year to send out that type of notification so that we just in good faith of working with everybody. We have all of this information, you know, all of that type of information is public on the website and in different locations. Okay. Are there any additional questions on the code enforcement officer update? Next item on the agenda is creating a social media page. So where I was referencing with that is I would like to create a social media page for the residents after multiple meetings and listening. The newspaper does get attention, but having a social media page on top of the sign out front, those we would be able to communicate the events that are coming up with the town and really getting a broader audience with it. I would like to do the social media page that would be no comments allowed. It's just an informative page from the town's perspective. It's much easier to manage from that component, and it does not run into any issues from a First Amendment perspective.
Yeah, I'll just say, when you allow comments and then decide to pick and choose which comments you allow, that's when you run into First Amendment problems. But if nobody can comment and it's purely an information sending rather than receiving social media page, then you're in the clear.
We get a very good chance to know what people think on the rants and raves of Barrow County or other. It needs to be a constructive component where we can inform the residents and bring people together, knowing that what events are happening around the town. We can use those types as well to inform if there are certain code violations that need to be, you know, in just a way of positively construing information. It becomes something of, we don't have a PR or other manager here to manage a website. If you start having all of the comments just free flowing either direction, and we want it to be positive. I don't have the time to manage a website or a social media page if we're allowing comments back and, you know.
If you look at rants and raves, they rant a lot.
Yeah.
That is just like, as my, well, I won't say that, never mind. Comments is just totally off the wall.
We want it to be, again, positive for everybody. So people would know when our meetings are, whenever we're doing future land use map updates, comp plan updates, festivals within the town.
So Eric, how hard would this be to get up and going?
I don't mind working on, it's just a pure, like a Facebook page, not Instagram, X, Twitter, or whatever, all the different TikTok, just one page that would have the information. So the request would be just to create a Town of Bethlehem, Georgia Facebook page.
Who will have the ability to put stuff on there? As you or all of us, or?
We would need to.
Thank you.
from the page and administration standpoint, though, if approved to do that, I would think it needs to be just two people that would act as admin between the clerk and the mayor, just from a... But it would be, if we have things to post, we can work it out as a simple piece of account that council members could work with the clerk on, as the second admin to create those messages. Correct. So do we hear a volunteer? So, all right, so the request is that we do, you know, that council would approve a Facebook page, the clerk and the mayor would have approval with it, but as a volunteer to help manage as well would be Sally. The part that we would just want to be in consideration is approval of the messaging before we send it out. Just in a, you know, in discussions. We can't send to everybody and vote on it in that manner. Well, we also can't.
And exactly. If you make a collective decision about something over email in a group, then that becomes a public meeting that would need notice.
So that's where we limit it in that manner, and then it just has... Correct. But if we were to keep it that way, in the manner it was mentioned, with the clerk, the mayor, and Sally helping to administer Facebook... Can reserve the Facebook. Yeah, I'll set it up. Setting up a Facebook page takes no. That part's easy. The fun part begins afterwards.
Okay, I make a motion that we start up a Facebook page.
All in favor?
I'm not sure about it at all.
All right. 4-1. All right. That is the last item on the agenda for today. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
All in favor?